We're ready for the next case, Gary Armstrong versus City of Milwaukee. I'm sorry, I was looking for people to show up. I didn't know where everybody was. Mr. Olson?
May it please the court. This is a case in which the plaintiff, who is an African-American male, an employee of 30 years standing of Milwaukee's Department of Neighborhood Services, alleged that he was denied promotion on at least two occasions and that his race was a factor in the city's decision to choose others, both of whom were white, instead of him. Just 2 weeks or so ago, this court decided a case with facts very much like the present one, and that case is Thanh Ong Sing versus Board of Education. And like the present case, the action involved a process that this court said had been administered in a discriminatory manner. This court said in that case that if the plaintiff was correct that a certification exam, and what was involved in that case was a certification exam by which the plaintiff would have been permitted to retain a position after a reorganization within the Board of Education. The court held that if the certification exam had been administered in a discriminatory way, then the employer cannot use the results of that process or of the test to justify the adverse employment action taken by the employer.
Now, have you given us supplemental authority on that?
I just learned of the case, Your Honor.
You're talking about this one where the fellow was a mechanic and took two tests, and it was discriminatory the way they did the subjective test?
Well, he was a custodian, Your Honor, for a school district, yes.
Well, you should submit, if you're going to talk about a new case, you've got to submit supplemental authority on it.
I won't refer to it.
So knows what we're talking about.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Do that after you're done here.
I will. Thank you, Your Honor. In this case, as in the other case, there was objective evidence that other employees, there were two jobs involved in this case, both of whom were similarly situated, were treated more favorably than Armstrong was. Now, there may be cases, we agree, in which there is no objective evidence. And in those cases, the employer's subjective judgments may very well be unassailable. But we look, though, at objective evidence, if any, to determine if the process is fair. If there isn't any objective evidence, then it's harder to say that the employer's decision was improper. But if, as here, there is some objective evidence that the process by which the decision to promote Mr. Armstrong was flawed or suspect or was unfair, then there is a triable issue of fact as to whether the reason offered by the city for its decision was a pretext for discrimination. Now, Armstrong, with regard to each position, Armstrong has identified at least one person who was treated more favorably in the interview process and in the process of selection than he was. The burden then shifted to the city to identify a non-discriminatory reason for not selecting Armstrong for the positions involved here, one of program assistant supervisor.
Counsel, I think you've overstated the evidence. The persons who were awarded the promotions,
yes,
in each of these cases were not treated more favorably. They interviewed better, and that was the basis for the decision.
Well,
in each of these cases, your client interviewed poorly, the persons who were awarded the positions interviewed extremely well, and that was the distinguishing factor.
Well, if I may, Your Honor, in the case, for instance, of Karen Jacobs, the person selected for the position of program assistant supervisor, the interviewer's notes the notes that are extant of the interviewers, the initial advisory panel, don't reflect, I think, that she did particularly well in the interview. She was selected, it's alleged later on, much later on, in affidavits in opposition to the motion for summary judgment, in support of the motion for summary judgment, that she had interviewed well, but that's not reflected by the interviewer's notes themselves. And
what did the interviewer's notes say about Armstrong?
The interviewer's notes said that he was responsive,
Talking about it, because I know there's some discrepancy or just, I guess, discussion about the validity of these notes. Different people take notes in different ways. They do comparatives, they do numbers, they do one thing or another, but that isn't really part of the ultimate, I guess, whatever the record decision is.
Well, I think in this case, I mean, the interviewer's notes certainly suggest, I think, that Armstrong did better on the initial interview than, at least in the case of Karen Jacobs did. Now, later on, the city says, well, we were justified in having Jacobs alone, interview a second time because she did better on the initial interview. But the interviewer's notes don't show that. And
wasn't it just one panel member was critical of Jacobs' answer?
There were three. I don't know, Your Honor. I can't answer that.
As a whole, the panel said she had great experience and interviewed well. They didn't say anything like that about your client, did they?
Well, that's what the affidavits say they reported later on. I don't believe that's reflected by the actual notes themselves. The actual notes suggest something much different, that she was less than responsive. And the examples she gave, for instance, to some of the questions, all of which were the same for all of the people interviewed, was inappropriate. At least that was one interviewer's response.
Which job was this for that we're talking about?
We're talking about the job of a program assistant supervisor, commercial code enforcement, the position for which Karen Jacobs was ultimately selected. And she was selected after a second interview. There were two people invited back for a second interview, one of whom chose not to go through the second interview. Only Jacobs was given an opportunity for a second interview, allegedly because she performed better on the first interview. But as I said, the notes of the panel don't support that. And then it was only then that she had a one-on-one interview with Tracy Williams, who was one of the four advisory panel members. And
third interview or the second interview?
It was a second interview, Your Honor.
That was sort of a final interview, wasn't it?
Yes,
it
was.
That was beyond the recommendation stage, isn't it?
No, that wasn't beyond the it was beyond the panel recommendation stage. Yes, that's correct. Right. But
I'll tell you what got me mixed up a little bit. There's so many jobs.
Yeah.
And now we're down to two, and I'm a little bit lost. I can't remember which ones we're focused on.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
You're right. Actually, initially, there were many more jobs in which he alleged that he had been the victim of discrimination. For purposes of this appeal, we've limited it to the two jobs, the one that was given to Karen Jacobs and the other to a man named Krakow. But with Karen Jacobs, for instance, she was, and this is also reflected in an affidavit prepared much later in support of the motion for summary judgment, that she was selected because of her innovation or history of innovation and initiative. But that was a history that was only revealed during the course of the second interview, the interview that was given her only by Tracy Williams, ultimately then offered her the position.
No, I understand the first interview, everybody gets to ask the same questions.
That's
right?
Correct.
Ten questions.
Right.
So I don't know what the second interview is. Maybe less structured. I don't know.
My understanding is that it was just a one-on-one with Tracy Williams, who was the head of the department. She was also one of the four people on the original advisory panel.
But wouldn't it be likely that she'd ask some other questions at that point, as opposed to the 10 that everybody got asked?
Certainly, I would agree, Your Honor. Yes, I think that is certainly possible. But what we don't know is that, well, a couple of things. One is that during the first interview, there was a ranking, a numerical ranking. Only Karen Jacobs received one rank number. And Armstrong, for some reason, received two rankings, both of which were higher than Jacobs. So there, again, is objective evidence that, at least initially, the advisory panel felt that Armstrong was more qualified or felt he performed better, at least, during the interview process than Jacobs did.
Now, did everybody use this numerical thing?
There were four panel members. We have the notes of only three, and two ranked, that is, gave a numerical ranking to Armstrong. One only gave a numerical ranking to Jacobs. The form had a place for numerical rankings, but for some reason,
there were two African Americans out of the four on the panel, right?
On the panel, there were on the Jacobs panel. That's correct, Your Honor. There were two African Americans. Yes.
Yeah, I guess your time's up. Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks. Ms. Regan.
Good morning. Appellant failed to put evidence before the district court that, if believed, would permit a trier of fact to conclude that Armstrong failed to obtain a promotion because of unlawful racial discrimination. In order to avoid summary judgment, he was required to point to evidentiary material that supported his position, specifically to prove that race was a consideration in a promotion decision. Mr. Olson overstates the evidence. In this case, the first position for assistant supervisor commercial code enforcement was an internal position for which current members of the Department of Neighborhood Services were invited to interview. Mr. Armstrong was one of the interviewers. But at the interview, it was an advisory panel to make recommendations to the supervisor of that section, Tracy Williams. There was no scoring. There was no ranking. It was a series of 10 questions. After all the interviewers finished, they were going to have a discussion and recommend to Ms. Williams who they thought performed best in the interview. And might I remind the court that this is a supervisory position required to supervise 18 employees and 8 code enforcement inspectors and commercial inspection. So this assistant supervisor was going to be required to go to court, make cases regarding commercial code violations for commercial buildings in the city of Milwaukee. So the supervisor, Ms. Williams, and the Department of Neighborhood Services needed someone that would be assertive, could handle supervisory responsibilities, and was familiar with commercial code. Appellant tries to make a point that Jacobs got to have a second interview to highlight her accomplishments, while Mr. Armstrong did not have the opportunity to have a second interview. The problem with that is that at the first interview, the panel met, discussed, and decided that Ms. Jacobs gave a far superior interview. The record is uncontested that she made eye contact, had good demeanor, outlined her relevant experience, also outlined her leadership role within the department, which far exceeded the leadership role of Mr. Armstrong in the department. And in contrast, the appellant was passive, provided short answers, failed to make eye contact, and even when the panel asked him to expand on his answers, expand on your experience, he declined to do so.
What was her background? Is she the one that was the... I don't remember all these, photojournalists or something like that?
No, her background was also as a special enforcement inspector.
Okay.
Although she had more relevant experience in commercial code as opposed to Mr. Armstrong, who had experience in residential inspections.
Okay.
The second position was building construction inspection assistant supervisor. These titles are a mouthful, but what that position required was supervising day-to-day administration of the department's condemnation and zoning enforcement functions of the Department of Neighborhood Services. This person would supervise 3 building inspectors who condemn fire-damaged buildings, deal with vacant buildings, dilapidated buildings, must understand construction, have a background in construction, understand building materials, understand court process, options of buying buildings, selling buildings, understand the condemnation process, qualifying a building for raising, proper service of orders, how to inform property owners of problems with the building, and the demolition process. At the interview, The uncontested record establishes that Chris Krako was more qualified for the building construction inspection assistant supervisor position than Armstrong. And the panel, which consisted of now the chief operating officer of the department, Tracy Williams, who had been promoted, the supervisor of condemnation, and the assistant supervisor, the other assistant supervisor of building construction inspection, interviewed these people and again determined that, based upon this second interview, unrelated to the first interview, that Mr. Armstrong was passive in his demeanor, failed to make eye contact, failed to expand on answers. And if you look at the interview notes that Mr. Olson wants to rely on here today, there's even a notation indicating that one of the interview panelists asked Mr. Armstrong to expand on his experience. Tell us about your experience. Give us some more real-world examples. And there's also a notation that he failed to do that. The record is uncontested also that the interview panel, believed Krako to be more qualified than Armstrong. He did have this photojournalism degree, but he took the opportunity at the interview to explain that he believed that allowed him to see process of construction, allowed him to keep good records, become a good writer. Also, he had 15 years of a related experience in the construction industry. He had owned his own construction firm, and he had also worked for the city as a construction inspector.
As I understand it, in his interview, I don't want to characterize it any other way, but he managed to describe this photojournalism as an asset, as opposed to being an engineer or something, but about his notes for detail and some other things that, I guess, impressed them at the interview.
That's correct. That is in the record.
And when we're talking about Armstrong, he apparently did not so elaborate. That was one of the problems.
That's correct.
And as I understand these jobs, frankly, I don't understand the makeup of them and what they're really supposed to do. But apparently, communications with public and individuals is important.
Yes, very important. These are assistant supervisor positions, which supervise a number of employees, specifically other inspectors, who are out dealing with the public, making decisions based upon commercial code and other code requirements. And so you need an assertive person who supervises people well, and who also knows the underlying information about what they're dealing with, construction code, uniform commercial code, things of that nature.
Between these interviews, didn't someone was on one of the panels try to counsel with Armstrong and tell him that he needed to do some changes in his interview process?
There's some evidence in the record that, unrelated to these interviews, there was some discussion between the Commissioner of Department of Neighborhood Services and Mr. Armstrong, wherein he tried to tell him you need to improve your eye contact, improve your demeanor in interviews, things of that nature. Also, then, at the building construction inspection interview, Mr. Ron Roberts, who was the supervisor of condemnation, did also say to Mr. Armstrong, how about giving us some more examples? Why don't you elaborate on your experience? And Mr. Armstrong declined.
Out of seven candidates, Mr. Roberts rated Armstrong sixth, another next to the bottom.
Right.
And that's the African-American member of the panel?
Yes. And Mr. Roberts had just been promoted to commercial code enforcement supervisor, and he had previously worked as an assistant supervisor as well. And in fact, as a point of reference, Mr. Roberts had also started as a, similar to Mr. Armstrong, had started as a special enforcement inspector. So, appellant has not proven his prima facie case, and he has not established pretext. Where the employer is offered a legitimate non-discriminatory reasons for its exempt action, the issue becomes whether the plaintiff has established pretext. Appellant instead tries to engage in some kind of comparative qualification argument, comparing Mr. Armstrong's qualifications with those persons selected to be most desirable by the interview panel and ultimately promoted by the commissioner. Nowhere in the record is any evidence of discriminatory intent, discriminatory motive, or that any decision based upon promotion was made based upon a discriminatory reason. Even if Armstrong is right that he is more qualified than the other applicants, which on this record is not the case, the only relevant issue then is whether the decision makers genuinely believed that the more qualified candidate was promoted. And on this record, there's nothing to suggest that the decision makers and the commissioner of the Department of Neighborhood Services believed any other outcome. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Olson, your time had expired. Pardon me? Okay, fine. In this case, we'll be taken under advisement.